It's Tuesday, June 19th, and the NBA draft comes up on Thursday night. We'll see what the Bucks do. Also, reports are out there that Giannis doesn't like playing with Eric Bledsoe and Jabari Parker. We'll discuss whether or not that's legit. We'll talk Brewers as they begin a big week with divisional foes. And Mike McCarthy wants a running back by committee. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at MitchRossMKE, and that's NoTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Episode 292. Charlie, with you.
Mitch on the ones and twos.
Tapping the keg.
I said tapping the keg.
It sounded a little.
What did you think it sounded like? Tell me how you
thought
it
sounded. I don't know. It was very, very enthusiastic. That's all.
Just giving a little piss and vinegar on a rainy Monday night.
Hell yeah.
For Tuesday.
Hell yeah.
How you living?
Pretty good.
You without a hat on is kind of weirding me out. Like, you usually have hats on, and if we had a video going, Mitch has, like, his hair isn't coiffed. It's just throwing me off a little bit.
It's fresh out the shower type of
I know.
Type of a deal.
You be in the night shower that you are. Nothing wrong with that. Also, nothing wrong with following SnowTapWI, your alternative source for sports in Wisconsin. You guys know where to find us. SnowTapWI, it's a website. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, SnowTapWI, and all of those. Follow Mitch Ross, MKE, on the Twitter as well. So, and subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Hopefully having daily taps all week. We'll see with the big move coming up what I'll be able to do. Gonna have to maybe move some things around, but we'll make it happen. If we're doing ones on our phone, we're doing ones on our phone. So I'm now used to it.
It's not unheard of.
We've done it before. So definitely looking forward to a good podcast talking Bucks draft.
It's loaded.
Talk about the NBA draft. Talk a little bit about the Packers running back by committee and a little bit on the Brewers since we taped pretty soon. So we only really got three games of Brewer baseball. Before we do that though. I enjoyed kind of opening the podcast up with a little lighter topic, and the lighter topic here is I guess a serious one at some point, but not really, because it's just people stepping into trash of Twitter. Twitter, you know, you can kind of eat the trash. Part of my take used to have a segment, they still do, called Peter King Eats the Trash, where Peter King just is an old guy, doesn't kind of know better, and just said something. And Ed Werder definitely did that today. So if you weren't following on Twitter, Ed Werder quote tweeted Charlotte Weiler, who works for SB Nation, or no, Sports Illustrated, formerly of SB Nation, because Wilder basically was looking for an entry-level position for SI and then said to, hey, if you're a woman, DM me, I'll help you out, and everything like that. And so the whole thing, whatever, Werder basically.
So Ed Werder decided to throw his hat in the ring.
Ed Werder. We actually need, like, Werder.
You're a hack, Werder. I'll see if I can find that.
Cowboy Chris would just have a field day because Werder basically was like, well, what about the white guys, basically, is what he said. And he defended it to high heavens.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I think sometimes Twitter is like the lowest form of communication, right? Like, when you say something in person, people understand what you're saying usually, right? 90% of the time. Over the phone, it's probably like 60%, because you can at least tell infliction on people's voices. Like, if my girlfriend's pissed at me on the phone, I'm going to know by the delayed the silences, by the just sort of her attitude. Like, I'm going
to
know.
I'd be embarrassed to be you as a reporter. Name your sources.
Name your sources.
You're a hack. You're a hack.
What, you want to get removed?
Wait, I'm on the street, so what am I doing? Warder, you're a hack. You're a hack reporter. You're a hack.
This is what you do?
That's embarrassing. I'd be embarrassed to report that story.
Was that his producer? Or
yeah.
I'm the audio man. And what you're
this
doing,
is great.
You know, whatever you feel like, that's fine. We're trying to do what we do. I understand. Okay, and, sir, I mean no disrespect to you at all. I really don't. But that man up there in the jacket, he's an embarrassment.
Well, I've got no disrespect. That man in the jacket, he's an embarrassment.
I've got no disrespect, sir. I'm sorry. I honestly, so I'll look this straight now.
All right, we get it.
How old is that video?
2008.
You got to do a where are we now with that guy. That's 10 years.
Cowboy Chris.
Where's Cowboy Chris?
There's several good Cowboy Chris videos.
How many, like...
Do you remember Dave Campo? He was like your special teams coach.
God, former, Dave Campo, what an awful coach.
Former Oregon State head coach, I believe.
Yeah.
There's a video of Cowboy Chris hanging out. I think it must have been after a game.
Yeah.
Waiting for him to when they landed or something. Saying, this ain't Oregon State. Figure it out.
Cowboy... Big ups to Cowboy Chris. He's not Danny Boy Kane, but he's definitely in the pantheon. Yeah. So
he's in the Mount Rushmore.
So yeah, as I was trying to say, you know, we go into the, you know, sort of that you phone and then you get text and then you get email,
right?
And then the very low part is Twitter, and really all social media, but Twitter especially.
Well, Twitter, everything is taken at.
Face value.
Face value, I guess, is the word. You know, that's what I was thinking, but I wasn't sure. It's just taken at, it's like what you see
it's
is
Bible.
What people read.
Exactly. It's Bible. It is absolutely Bible.
And there's no, you know, there's no nuance to anything. It's just, well, you know.
Yeah.
He's wrong.
Well, what Ward is trying to say is like, look, I think everybody should have a chance. And like, should she maybe follow it up with, yeah, everyone should apply, but I'm probably not going to accept your DMs if you're a guy. Sure. But at the same time, like, what does that say about people who probably have difficulty getting into the industry as a minority male? I mean, and you just see where Werder's point could be right if you really think about it.
Right.
But you don't have time to think about Twitter. Twitter is just a fast twitch reaction.
Yep.
Just like with Sam Decker, who had the whole thing about, like, he's proud of his white heritage.
Yeah.
With Bronson Koenig. That got, you know, basically Sam Decker with 3 Ks. I saw that. I mean, he got killed. I mean, he got pretty banged up. And it was a good time for Decker to probably go on a sponsored bachelor party to Mexico, as I saw in his Instagram story.
And just sort of decompress and disconnect.
I mean, I have to give Olivia Harland a lot of credit for whoring out her entire wedding and just the whole process.
Well, like, why not, right?
Well, yeah, and I kind of thought about it because I was like, I thought about this topic prior to the show, and I was like, should I give her shit for this, or should I actually be impressed? Like, kind of like you pooped in the fridge, and I'm not even mad. Like, I'm not even mad because
I don't know what else I can say.
Well, that's not even that. It's like, the fact of the matter is like, she basically did the whole season 4 Entourage where they basically rented everything out so Vince didn't have to pay for his birthday party. She's basically paying for a whole fucking wedding with all these different sponsorships. It's actually a pretty goddamn good hustle.
It's business savvy.
It's definitely business savvy. I have to give her credit. Granted, do I think she needs help with the money thing? Not really. I mean, her grandpa is Bob Harlan.
Hello.
I mean, come on. Let's
well,
cut.
Her
let's
dad's,
cut the
her
bullshit.
Dad's the best broadcaster in the fucking game.
The GOAT.
So
Kevin Harlan. So absolutely.
Probably gets paid by game, and we're not talking. We're talking probably 5 or 6 digits per game.
How great would it be to get banged up with Kevin Harlan at his daughter's wedding?
That'd be pretty good. I mean,
that would be.
There's gonna be some, you know, some people at that wedding.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that would be a Frank Kaminsky sighting.
Yep.
He's, I think, one of the groomsmen. So is Dare Ogunbowale.
Dare Ogunbowale, yeah.
He's one of his boys, I think. So it's like, and that's also weird, like the whole like white, you know, the whole like, yeah, I'm proud of my white heritage. Like, Dare is like one of his best friends. So it's like, and I know people are like, well, every white guy has a black friend, but no, like legit, he's like one of his best friends. It's not like. I'm sure they've had discussions, you know, whatever, because that's what friends do. You have discussions about serious topics from time to time.
He could have been like, whoa, what's up with this man? Or something.
Yeah, come get your mans. I'm sure Dare got some texts from some of his buddies like, go get your mans.
Yeah.
Go get your mans. But also go get your mans is John Horse as we transition to Bucks Draft 2018.
They're walking.
As, Mitch said, I think like 2 weeks ago, it was like, it's not as exciting as it used to be. There was a time on this podcast, if you go through the annals of, you dust off some of the very old podcasts, we were talking about who would you pair with Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jabari Parker, Andrew Wiggins. I'm pretty sure that was still during the tapping the keg era. But yeah, it's not as significant. You know, this is another draft where the Bucks are drafting low in the
low teens,
and that's where you want them. You kind of want them to be drafting in the 20s. They don't have a second round pick. That kind of stings. People are hoping the Bucks are gonna get back a second round pick since they've been so successful with Malcolm Brogdon and Sterling Brown. I mean, you can argue Sterling Brown good, bad, whatever, but
he's pretty good.
The Bucks, we'll see what they do. I think the 17th pick leads for a ton of unpredictability. If you remember last year, we all wanted Bam Adebayo. We all thought Bam was a perfect fit for what the Bucks wanted to do, and Miami loved him. There was no way he was going off Miami's board, and he was taken at 14, and it threw the Bucks draft for a flux. And because they didn't really have the structure and leadership that they do today, I think they just made a panic pick with DJ Wilson.
Yeah, so now, probably.
So there are names thrown around. I don't think Kevin Knox is going to fall to Milwaukee. Troy Brown is looking less and less likely.
Is he rising?
Yeah, and he's also kind of not a guy I think I want on the Bucks right now because he's not a good shooter. You know, I don't want a guy who can't shoot right now.
Correct.
That is, I think instead of really talking about players, Mitch, I guess what is your dream profile? We can start with size. We can start with who would be like what kind of profile when they're running through it on ESPN on Thursday night. What type of guy would you like to be on the Bucks?
I mean, they need a point guard and a center. I mean, that's pretty obvious. They need a guard or a center. And anything in between, I'm probably going to be disappointed.
Okay.
So let's put it that way. So unless, like Kevin Knox falls, you know, or somebody, Michael Porter Jr., God forbid, right. You know, then you kind of have to take him.
Right. Best available.
Best available. Style. But it's like DJ Wilson last year, and I do have big plans for DJ this year. But that pick last year was kind of in the same vein where it's like, we don't need a power forward. Like, why are we reaching for a guy that's, you know, a power forward.
It's right.
And a guy who's 21 years old and didn't do much in college, you know,
had one hot streak.
Yeah.
And I think.
Why are we doing that?
I think Dante DiVincenzo is sort of the DJ Wilson of this draft, although I think he's a better player. And I kind of like.
I could live with DiVincenzo.
So could I, because he's a great shooter.
Right.
He's a microwave. He's exactly the type of player that the Bucks lacked all year that we said they need a guy off the bench.
He's younger than I thought he was. So there's more room 20. To grow. He's only a sophomore or something like
right.
that?
Yeah, he's only a sophomore.
He was a definite Van Wilder team candidate. No question.
He was working his nomination in there, and then he got hot in the NCAA tournament.
Listen to the right people, and he's probably going to be a first-round pick now.
And bless his heart, because as a Marquette fan, the fact that Nova lost a bunch of guys is very good. Very good for me in my college hoops life.
No question about it. I mean, I can tell you what my dream draft would be.
Okay.
I really like Khyree Thomas. I think that dude is a guy that can play point guard. He wouldn't have to next year. Or be the smaller guard, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
I know that true point guards are kind of dying in the NBA, and you're going to be looking at more combo guards and stuff. And, I mean, Eric Bledsoe is kind of a combo guard himself.
Right.
Clearly. And, you know, I think he's a guy who can kind of learn under him or somebody else or Brogdon and for a year and then really, you know, hit it. But he could be ready right away, too. You know, I mean, he's got some age and he's not, I don't think he's so raw that, you know, he can't do something next year.
Right.
And then I think you buy a second round pick and I would love Mo Wagner.
No. So, yeah, Mo Wagner is a hell of a player. That, I mean, you go back to Michigan, but Mo is a hell of a player. He is very good. Obviously, would be loved here.
Well, again,
and would love playing here because of the German roots.
And I need shooting. So it's like, if you had him and Thon as your centers, you know, down the road, you know, next year or something, I think that's an ideal sort of lineup with, because you're certainly with Wagner, you're spacing the floor. He's 6'11". I mean, he's just, I think he's a good player. And
I agree with you.
It's a guy that I definitely would like to look at buying maybe in the second round. I know second round picks go for like $3.5 million, $4 million, something like that, maybe depending on.
Yeah, I don't know if it's up to the team who sells
it.
But
I think it's worth it because I think there are so many guys who are going to be sort of selling off picks because of all this different stuff happening with the NBA and really where are we looking at it? Where are we, where could potentially there be some options, right?
Yeah.
And I think as you get later in that draft, down into the 50 to 60 area, there could be opportunity. I really wish just the NBA draft was 3 rounds. I think it should get to that point with the G League almost at full completion. I think you'll get to a third or fourth round in years to come. I think that's in the future.
Yeah.
Because I think, A, the NBA knows they're as popular as they've ever been and that they can make it a 2-day event and a lot of people would watch. If you did it 2 days, I think.
Well, I mean, the draft nowadays is long.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's 5 hours.
It's definitely a marathon without question. And so it's kind of my ideal book, I guess, out of this draft. Instead of looking at players, I agree with you 100%. I think shooting needs to be a focus. Yeah. I don't think you can draft a guy like Troy Brown who can't shoot the ball.
Shooting and NBA ready. Yes. I mean, I can't have any projects at this point.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing it into my next point. I have to have maturity. I can't have Mitchell Robinson. I like Mitchell Robinson. I think Mitchell Robinson has a good skill set, but I'm not wanting to wait 2 or 3 years to see what Mitchell Robinson can develop into because I worry unless they think he is NBA ready, as you say. Now, young guys can be NBA ready, but big guys in the NBA have a harder time getting ready. I look at a guy like Marquise Chris. He is, first of all, a fuckboy. But second of all, he's a fuckboy because he's just a young punk and he doesn't know better.
Yeah.
He undercut Giannis like twice in the last year. I have no fucking time for Marquise Chris.
Yeah, that's true.
He can fuck right off.
But I mean, Hassan Whiteside took him a decade to get Andrew Bogut. It took Bogut like 5 years to get.
Oh, yeah. Andrew Bogut, was famously known for trying to bring girls home by just telling them who he was out of Milwaukee. I mean, that's unsubstantiated, and I may have heard it from one person. But still, he was a prick. I mean, he was a bona fide prick, too.
Well, I'm just talking about on the court.
Well, yeah. It matters on both sides of it. You have to be ready to buy in. The fact that it took basically DJ Wilson to get shamed on the internet for working out, and finally he needed to put something on Instagram that he was working out after basically like 2 or 3 weeks off. I mean, that says a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I need a guy who's going to potentially fill up the basket. I think so many times the Bucks just need guys who are going to score points because the likes of Tony Snell, the likes of Thon Maker and others, can't always provide, multiple buckets at a time.
Right.
And they missed, I think it was better to move on from Greg Monroe, but they missed a Greg Monroe type who could just get buckets.
Yeah.
Like, Greg Monroe would have stretches where he could score 12 points in, 5 minutes, and it was, great. And he would bridge the gap sometimes for Giannis. As little as we want Giannis to have work, I think that's the type of guy I want. And so, do you think at all the Bucks would trade this pick? That they would trade either down or that they would make a move to offload some salary, to get basically somebody gets up into the 17th and says, you have to take on John Henson or you have to take on Tony Snell or Dellavedova or one of these contracts. Do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, I think it's a possibility. I think that I don't know anything, but I think it's a possibility because, they are kind of in cap hell right now. And, if you can use it to get out of somebody, maybe. I don't think I would. I think I'd rather just keep the pick. I think if you're going to trade to 17, I think you maybe go with a trade with Bledsoe or something and try to get somebody back with that pick and an expiring.
Yep.
Like a Kemba Walker or somebody or have some type of deal like that.
Right.
That would be awesome. But I think for the most part, I'm looking at them just keeping it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them trading up really.
No,
that doesn't really happen too much in the NBA.
No, I don't think the value.
There's like one
is
team
that
every year that does it, but.
Yeah, unless they dangle a package out there that's Bledsoe and Jabari Parker, and you have Wendell Carter coming, and Wendell Carter's available. There's a lot of Wendell Carter buzz that's happening, where Kevin O'Connor on The Ringer wrote yesterday that he thinks Wendell Carter is a better player than Marvin Bagley. I actually tend to agree with him. from what I saw from Wendell Carter, Wendell Carter has an NBA-ready body. He is a bruiser. He's
They're kind of comparing him to Al Horford, right?
Right. He's a guy who can just get buckets. He looks like an NBA. He looked like an NBA player last year for Duke.
And he can also shoot.
Yes. So if you tell me that Wendell Carter's there at number 10, right, with Philadelphia, you know, maybe that's a place. I'd not want Wendell Carter to go to Philadelphia. And then to that point, who would be the one guy that you would cringe if Chicago got? And I guess who would be the guy that you'd celebrate, since really they're the only team in the top 10 that's a division foe? I mean, there's the Pistons, but the Pistons don't have a pick, and they're a bigger train wreck than really anything running right now.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, Wendell Carter going to the Bulls would suck.
Yeah, I would agree.
And that's highly likely. Yeah. The Bulls have, what, seven again?
Yeah, they had Wendell Carter and Lauri Markkanen to sort of their future. I think the future would look really good. I've heard they really like...
Because then they'd be rolling Carter, Portis, and Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, that's a pretty brutal front line. And
Bobby Portis is a Bucks killer.
Yes.
Maybe the biggest.
Yes. Make sure that remember that he got passed on.
Yeah.
Also, too, the idea of them getting Michael Porter is great. I hope they get Michael Porter. I will be very happy if they get Michael Porter. Michael Porter is as unproven gets.
Yeah, for sure.
So
was Kyrie Irving.
Yes, but he actually played some games. Like, Michael Porter... There's nothing to tells me Michael Porter is going to be an NBA star.
True.
I think he is the biggest high-risk reward gamble of all of the draft picks. I think the whole Luka situation is very interesting. I don't know what's going on with the Kings. I don't know if the Kings are like, we're going to take Michael Porter, which is something I also heard, and they're going to pass up on Luka, which...
I think that'd be dumb.
Oh, man. If you pass up on Luka with the first two, I don't mind DeAndre Ayton going one. Great player.
That'll probably happen.
Find a way to get rid of Chris, probably. Ayton's a stud. And then in the next pick, you know, it should be Luka or nobody. I think anybody over Luka seems like a mistake.
And yeah, Luka to Sacramento seems like a pretty good spot. I know that, like, he... You know, he doesn't necessarily... Well, that report was out there.
Yes.
And speaking of reports, we'll be discussing one here in a little bit that might be in the similar level of, I guess, truth.
Yeah.
There's a report out there that he doesn't want to go to Sacramento, so he's threatening to stay in Europe again. But I think he's got... Phoenix would be better for him because of his coach.
Oh, yeah.
But I think Sacramento, you got your Eastern European... front office guys.
Can I throw something wild out there? Do you think that part of the reason he doesn't want to go to Sacramento is the whole Eastern European influence, that he doesn't necessarily like his culture? And I'm speaking out of turn entirely, but that, you know, maybe he wants to be fully Americanized and not deal with, you know, sort of that pressure, because I feel like there'll be even more pressure if he goes to the Kings than if he went to the Mavericks at five.
Because Vlade and Peja are in the front office and stuff.
100%.
Yeah, and well, I thought you were going to go with like maybe like the whole Drazen Petrovic and Vlade Divac thing,
yeah,
where they're from different parts of the, you know, the same country
never even considered that.
That's where I thought you were going.
But that's a perfect angle to go, because...
Because I'm not sure which... He's from Serbia, right?
Right. And it's... And as actually funny enough... I just...
No, Slovenia.
It's hard with the Eastern European countries. Look it up. I basically, how it is that old Serbia is now Croatia. So Croatia is now Serbia and Serbia, whatever. And that's all been split
He's
up.
From Slovenia. I know that. I messed it up.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, he's from Slovenia, just like Goran Dragic.
Okay. And but I think that Luka would say, okay, if Sacramento's not taking me, I definitely go to Atlanta, fine, because Atlanta's huge market, got a new coach. They, you know, I think that would be a good spot for him.
Huge market, but spotty sports market.
Right, but I still think he would be embraced there. I don't think he'd go to Memphis just because of the uncertainty. I guess Robert Pena has a lot of money and can kind of is a convincer. I think he'd love to go to Dallas. I think he'd love to go play for Cuban, hang out with Dirk for a year or two, and then you have a backcourt of Luka and Dennis Smith Jr. Whew, boy. If I'm the Mavericks, I almost try to move that up. I wouldn't trade Dennis Smith Jr. to move up, but
I think Dallas likes Mo Bamba.
Yes. I mean, has Mark Cuban ever not liked a big man? Like,
probably not.
Big men are his kryptonite. He enjoys big men more.
He's always tried to get a center for I don't know how many years.
Exactly.
So
yes, and you could make a comment that Bamba and Dennis Smith Jr. together, that's a pretty solid combination. Bamba though, is he a workout warrior? Is he just, you know? I disagree. I think he's actually a pretty good player. I just think he has some follow issues that he's going to have to work on early on, and a team will have to be patient with that. And I think a guy like Rick Carlisle can definitely be patient with that.
Yeah, and hopefully we have the next Rick Carlisle.
Well, right, exactly. And we'll see how much smoke there is to Chris Sheridan's report today, basically saying that Giannis is fed up with playing with Eric Bledsoe and Jabari Parker.
Yeah,
Chris Sheridan, he former ESPNer. I don't think he is as concrete with his evidence as others.
Yeah,
let's do this, and we've done this really well with the NBA. Who is leaking this? It's not Giannis.
No, it's not him.
It's not Giannis. Is it Eric Bledsoe?
I don't know.
Because if it was coming from Jabari, right, it would be Gary Wolfel.
Yeah.
Gary's as well connected with Jabari as anybody. Anytime there's a Jabari story, and I'm sure he'll be on The Fan this week, so I'm sure they'll ask him, like, is there any truth to this story? And then we'll get the Jabari side of it.
Yep.
And so this is coming from Eric Bledsoe's camp, because Eric Bledsoe's camp wants to go play with LeBron.
Yeah.
That's 100% what's happening here. They floated.
So. I'm going to work with, it's just him watching them play.
And he's just throwing something out.
You can't deny that Eric Bledsoe is a frustrating player to play with.
100%.
Jabari's probably not as frustrating, but you'd be lying if you said that their on-court chemistry wasn't goofy.
It is. It's like,
and especially
it's like two,
this year.
It's like two middle schoolers trying to make out. Like, it just doesn't work.
Kind of. I mean, a little bit, you know, and there were times where they were good, and there were times where, you know, again, especially some of those games where Jabari was checked out or whatever, it kind of was like, I don't know if this is going to work.
Yeah.
And just because it is kind of, you know, it sounds dumb, but it's like, it is kind of that thing where Jabari thought he'd be the best player.
Oh, yeah.
When he got drafted.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird because Jabari is such a selfless person, and like, he's a selfless teammate, even though he is a naturally gifted scorer and everything. So to think that is tough for me to think, but I think there's definitely some truth to that.
Yeah, I think there is.
Jealousy is the word, and it's not really his fault.
Yeah.
It's not his fault he got hurt, and it sucks, and it's just life as a Bucks fan.
I think there are some issues there where they just sort of really, they really do not mesh. They really
I do kind of like that. It's like a middle school dance.
Right, exactly. They just have
they're just kind of awkwardly like.
Awkwardly feeling each other out.
There isn't like. There's no chemistry.
Yeah, there, and it's right.
And
it's
that, like, a lot of that is probably the injuries, just not being able to, because they kind of do the same things and not being able to sort of feel each other out.
Right. Yeah. No.
Very much
I think,
in their careers.
I think that's a major issue. I think it's a major problem. I think they have still some time to get together, and hopefully they get another chance. Hopefully there is some more of that. But I do think it's coming from Bledsoe's camp. I think Bledsoe would like to not be here. Because I think he wants to play for LeBron. I think as more and more he
for him or with him,
what
he said, play for LeBron.
For well, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it's assumed, and I know that Bledsoe is a savvy dude. He listens to a lot of stuff. I'm sure he heard the same stuff we did from Jalen Rose and others who said LeBron really wanted Eric Bledsoe to be with him and to play with him.
So do you think the Lakers would be calling?
I hope so. I don't know if I could do Luau Deng. We talked about it last week on the podcast. But, I mean, there's rumors out there that they're looking to maybe trade for Dame Lillard. And I'd rather have Dame Lillard than Eric Bledsoe 100% of the day.
Yeah.
But we'll see what the Lakers do. Who's the most, to kind of put a bow on this whole, these two topics, who's the most interesting team to you on Thursday? Is it the Spurs? Is it the Lakers? Is it the Suns, the Kings? Who would you say is the one that you're kind of keeping your eye on besides the Bucks, obviously?
Well, Yeah, that Spurs and Lakers type of deal is pretty interesting.
Right.
We'll have to see what
the Kawhi stuff.
Yeah, because I don't see the Spurs giving in.
No, I don't. I think they're going to dig their heels in, and then that becomes another topic for us probably next week.
Yeah.
You know, how realistic is a Kawhi deal? And that's probably a topic for next week.
Yeah.
If Kawhi doesn't get dealt to Philly or the Celtics.
Yeah.
If he gets dealt to Philly or the Celtics, we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, that's going to be that'll be a nightmare. But, you know, Kawhi hasn't played now much in a year. So we'll see how healthy he is. We'll see how.
I would say, though, if they think Kawhi still has it in the Spurs organization, that's the whole reason they're not putting him in the West. Because the Spurs believe he still has it, and they don't want him to torment them.
Yeah. And he's only 25 or 26.
If they thought he was a piece of shit at this point, they would have just dealt him to Lakers and not even thought about it and said, okay, deal with this asshole.
Well, and you know, too, about, I mean, who knows? I know the reports are out there and it's widely reported, but I mean, from all indications, Kawhi Leonard's not a ego guy. So for him all of a sudden to want out of San Antonio is kind of weird.
It's really strange. The whole situation is terribly... I guess frustrating.
This is unfortunate for Spurs
fans.
And I'm not going to feel bad for him.
I'm not going to feel bad for him one iota.
At the same time, it's kind of like that. It's not like it, but it'd be like Giannis all of a sudden just being like, "Yep, he wants out.
Fuck it, I'm out."
Yeah,
I think
he would stop playing one season and just be like,
"Yeah." And I think Greg Popovich. I think we're seeing this in sports more and more and maybe it's a generational thing. Maybe we've always seen it, and we're just realizing it now because we're older. But these coaches get so put on this pedestal, and they kind of get their dicks sucked by everybody. Same with Bill Belichick.
Well, so are you saying that he's sick of Pop?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just like Tom Brady's sick of Bill Belichick. And just like Rob Gronkowski is. I mean, there were rumors that, like hard and fast rumors, that they had deals on the table to trade Rob Gronkowski to the Tennessee Titans or the San Francisco 49ers. And Bob Kraft.
Either or.
Nixed it. Right, I was right. Nixed it because Tom Brady told him, "I'm going to retire if you trade Rob Gronkowski." There is a...
Fuck you. Well, you're cool. Fuck you, I'm out.
And the whole thing is like, I just think these coaches have got to... They have such big egos. This is going to happen to Steve Kerr too, by the way. Like, mark this podcast down. It's going to be like 2 years from now. But there'll be an uprising against Steve Kerr too, because everybody like loves these guys because they have such thoughtful answers and they have to be like, everything's a fucking clickbait article. When Pop says something out of his mouth, Pop says something funny about vegetables, and that's a 300-word article on Bleacher Report.
Yeah,
I mean, Christ Almighty. But I don't blame Kawhi. Kawhi's a quiet guy, and I think Kawhi thought that Popovich is the star. I'm not the star of this team.
Yeah.
Greg Popovich is. People think that I can't do it without Popovich. Screw him. I'm going to do this somewhere else.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And because the Spurs are run a little, it's like a college team.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Where the coach is the star.
No question.
It's all about
it.
The coach.
So, speaking of coaches, Mike McCarthy, look at our chance.
What if that's what it was, though? Like, it's Pop or it's me? Like, he goes to the owner.
I think he did.
And the owner was, of course, naturally was like...
Or R.C. Buford. We probably went to R.C. Buford. I mean, like, R.C. Buford's been there forever.
They're like, Pop will be here until he dies. And he's gone.
Guys have done it throughout their entire career. Brett Favre did it. I mean, other guys have done it. I mean, Grant, Brett Favre didn't necessarily. It's me or McCarthy. But Brett Favre and McCarthy hated each other. I mean, McCarthy did not call that interception that Favre threw.
See, but the difference there is that Brett Favre is very much an ego guy. And Kawhi is not.
That's the inverse, though. That's right. Where the coach, I don't think McCarthy has an ego. He doesn't have the ego. The ego belongs to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the ego, if this happens with Aaron Rodgers in 3 or 4 years, it's Aaron Rodgers that will lead it. It won't be Mike McCarthy. Yep. So speaking of Mike McCarthy, as I tried to transition there, you're always good for one interruption of transition.
Yeah, and it's a valid question.
It is. I'm just giving you a hard time. But McCarthy said today, basically he was like, I want a running back by committee. So it doesn't seem like they're in the business of choosing running backs. And I think I don't know how Packer Nation will take that. I mean, it's very early to be talking about positions right now in because there's training camp and there's injuries and guys can separate themselves and that sort of thing. But I guess the question for you is, how would you rank these three guys? Very sports media topic of us, but how would you rank the three out of Ty Montgomery, Jamal Williams, and Aaron Jones?
I think it'd be Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, and Ty Montgomery.
Okay. And I don't think...
Is that simple?
It is. I think a lot of people wouldn't disagree with you.
Is that pinheady?
Nah. No, because Ty Montgomery, I think, still has a lot to prove. And I think Ty Montgomery can make himself into this sort of hybrid H-back sort of player that I think everybody wants him
Definitely.
To be. And he can occasionally run the ball. He can occasionally pass, catch the ball.
Well, that is what's intriguing about Ty Montgomery is he's versatile. He's played running back and receiver at high levels of football.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and plus with the way the NFL has gone in football in general, a lot of passing.
Right.
I mean, it just seems like Mike McCarthy would know how to use him.
Right. And I think that, Pete, the national perception on the Packers is down than it ever has been. I just saw the Madden rankings for next year. The Packers are a 79 overall. Crazy. But that's a national perception, right?
But it's just so, like, non-Aaron. Like, yeah, without Aaron Rodgers, they're
sure.
a 79.
100%. I mean, I know you know more about video game ratings than I do. But they have as many arsenals, as much arsenal in the running back and wide receiver and tight end position as they ever have had in maybe since their 2011 team.
Their defensive rating is probably trash.
Right, and they don't take in consideration that Mike Pettine is bringing this in. And, oh, by the way, our hype machine has started for Vince Beagle. The Vince Beagle hype machine.
Yeah, he apparently had a good week.
Oh, yeah, he had a good week in shorts. And so the Vince Beagle hype machine is off and running.
I did hear Mikey Clemens say that on the big show.
Yeah.
That Vince Beagle stuck out to him. No, I think it was on the Bill Michael show, actually.
So the thing is like these guys are coming in the season as underdogs. This is the first time maybe ever that the Packers, not ever, and well, yeah, in Aaron Rodgers' career.
Well, since the Super Bowl.
Yeah, since probably 2009. This is the first time the Packers are coming in underdogs and, you know, Mike.
Under the radar, probably more.
And Mike Daniels. Well, they are underdogs because I think the Vikings are probably the favorite to win the NFC North.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, Kirk Cousins did not look good in shorts. He had a couple overthrows. He was playing, you know, he threw some interceptions. I'm going to mark this down, and this is June.
I already know you're going to have the Packers winning 12 games this year.
Well, I knew that, but I think they are going to absolutely piss pound the Vikings in week two.
We're going to be sitting here Labor Day week doing our predictions for the NFL, and Charlie once again is going to take the Packers to win the division, and I might too.
I am going to, because listen, the one thing I know about the Minnesota fucking Vikings is when you expect them to be good, they usually result you in a 7-9, 8-8 season.
Well, and in the NFL too, I think that's why there's so much season to season parity because the schedules,
I
mean, are so different.
100%.
I mean, you know, it happened to the Raiders.
Yeah. Well, and then the Raiders decided to go back to 2001, and now they're not going to be good this year. I hope you know that.
How so?
I just want you to know that they're not going to be good.
Well, maybe taking Marshawn Lynch out of retirement wasn't a great idea, as much as it was a great marketing move.
Yes.
But
made him a lot of money.
You mean go back to 2001 in terms of the players they got?
Coaching style.
They ran the ball a shitload.
There's going to be so much stuff that Gruden does that is just going to bend our fucking brains, that we're just going to be like,
I'm really excited for Chucky.
I am too. It's going to be great content.
It is.
You're going to be so mad by week four.
Are the Raiders going to be on national TV all the time?
They have a bunch of games. They're pretty public.
Is that
team.
All out?
Yeah.
Like what channels they're going to be and stuff?
Yeah. Going back and also to add on to this whole Packers are under the radar thing. Also remember the Bears.
That's a great time of year, by the way, in September.
Oh yeah.
Cause I don't have a lot of stuff going on really. I can, you know, watch football September, October.
Hey, just FYI for those who are maybe looking for cable,
here it is.
Free ad.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Sunday Ticket is absolutely free if you sign up for AT&T DirecTV with internet. $87 it cost me. I'm on like the doorstep with them. I've been hassling around with AT&T, but that's here and are there.
Because they're losing subscribers.
Fine. I don't give a shit.
I don't understand why that offended our young Nolan Murphy.
We don't need to talk about our group chat. Our group chat's a whole other fucking planet.
He told me that's a bad take, and I'm like, well, it's not really a take, it's a fact.
We just don't need to bring our group chat into the podcast. Every now and again I can call Murph something that we said a lot on last week's podcast. But that's pretty much it. Yes, I don't know. You could say maybe AT&T's ass is in the jackpot a little bit.
Could be.
But I've been trying to say now for 5 minutes is the Packers are under the radar too because the Chicago Bears are also like the sexy team.
Yeah.
Like them and San Francisco are the babes of this. They're the Lindsay Perlellis of the NFC this year. So there's also that.
I agree. I think the Bears with Trubisky, what he showed last year.
Well, Matt Nagy and all the guys that they brought in and all this other shit.
The Bears would be lucky to win 7 games.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to the Bears and Vikings just crumbling and then the Lions being terrible. Because I know Matt Patricia can't coach his way out of a paper bag.
Yeah, and, you know, you also love taking the Lions. You think the Lions are horrible. I mean,
a tradition unlike any other.
Pretty much. And
Charlie thinking the Lions are... moving on to the Brewers.
I was going to say, that's enough NFL. I'm getting uncomfortable.
They have one goddamn hit. That's all they have is one goddamn hit against Trevor Williams, who is a gas can for 4 games. Mm. He had 7 strikeouts, 2 walks. That's how Mitch feels about that performance.
Beat him down!
Every time in PNC Park. I'm not going to overreact because we have 2 games left. But man, oh man, we talked about it last week. Oh, there's just demons in that goddamn ballpark, and it happened again. And the air just sinks out of the Brewers.
Well, and what's the score right now as we record?
It's 1-0.
Of course it is. So here's what's going to happen. The Brewers will tie it up.
And then in the bottom of the ninth. They'll lose in the ninth or tenth.
Some idiot named Max Moroff or whatever his name is. He'll hit a 20-hopper up the middle with fucking 2 outs in the bottom of the ninth. The score a guy from second.
Some idiot named Max Moroff.
That's what happened last year.
No, I know.
He had a goddamn duck fart off Corey Knebel.
No. I looked last year.
A dying pigeon.
I looked at on Baseball Reference to see what the result was against the Pirates. They were 3-7, and I think they lost twice in walk-off fashion. Just terrible. Just terrible shit. I mean, it's just how it goes, man. So we'll see.
You know, they are you disappointed they lost 2 out of 3 to Philly at home?
I'm only disappointed because they should have won Sunday.
I was going to say,
Aaron Nola's been a goddamn like stud. Right. Like he's been so good this year, and you chased him out of 5 innings.
Well,
you chased him.
Right, and the offense has been so fucking inconsistent, and you score 9 runs, and you lose.
And you also, by the way, left 13 guys in scoring position.
Yeah.
So you had no one to blame but yourself.
Yep.
But I mean,
you won, so you blew him out Friday, which is great.
Right.
And you lost Saturday 4-1.
Zach Eflin, new Brewer.
Zach Eflin is correct. And Rhys Hoskins, by the way.
Yes.
Can also get the fuck all the way out of here.
Rhys Hoskins with his weird helmet.
Because he got hit in the jaw.
I know, but
he does look weird.
He looks like a dingus.
He does look like, he looks like an X-Men.
Yeah, so he does. He looks like Professor X.
He looks like,
Professor X.
He looks like Magneto.
There you go. Magneto, motherfucker.
He looks like Magneto with that helmet like that. Yeah. So, but yeah, 2-run homers every time he steps up. So
it's
good to see him get out of town, but he's definitely the newest member of the Brewer Killer Club.
Right. And the Brewers welcome the Cardinals then this weekend for a 4-game set. Cardinals have been as inconsistent as the Brewers. They're losing tonight. The Cubs are in a rain delay, so who knows? Cubs could be tied for first place without even doing anything if the game gets rained out.
Yeah.
Although I think the Cubs are trying to avoid postponement as much as they can as the home team because they already have, eight games postponed this year. It's been weird.
Did you see that suspended game with the Nationals?
And Soto hit the home run, and he was not even called up like 5 days beforehand.
Yeah, but I think you can do whatever you want.
Right.
In a suspended game, you just have to let the league office know ahead of time or something.
Yeah, the Nationals ended up winning the suspended game 5-3.
Nice.
So yes, we'll
then they played the scheduled one.
Tonight, yeah.
Yeah, or there were two. One was suspended. The other one was rained
out. Postponed, you're right. Yeah, they're playing the other one this evening
as well.
Brutal,
man. That sucks, but that's why you have a roof, people.
Absolutely. That's why you do. So we'll see what the Brewers do against the Cardinals. We'll be back next week. We'll recap the Bucks draft. Talk who knows what else. Maybe some Kawhi. If we'll extend our Kawhi conversation.
Yeah.
If Kawhi doesn't get moved and if they're really adamant on trading him to the East, because then we have to bring what can the Bucks bring to the table before free agency starts.
The Bucks and, huge offseason and really also, starts to roll.
Right. And also get you ready for NBA free agency, which will begin on Saturday. And we'll talk maybe a little bit about the LeBronathon.
Yeah.
Decision 3.0.
3.0, yeah.
Yes, 3.0.
LeBron has surprised everybody every time, so we'll see.
That means he's going to the Kings. Mark it down.
He's coming to Milwaukee.
Yep, you know it. All right, well, for Mitch, I'm Charlie. You guys have a good rest of your week. We'll talk to you next week. See you tomorrow on the Daily Tap. Bye.
Peace.